Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
The house was the reason they could afford college. Five friends had spent most of their freshman year squeezed into dorm rooms that felt too small, too loud, and too expensive. By the time sophomore year approached, they were determined to find another option. When they discovered a large Victorian house just a few blocks from campus, it felt almost too good to be true. The place was old but not run down. The rent, when divided five ways, was far less than they expected to pay, and the house offered something none of them had enjoyed since leaving home. Space. There were six bedrooms, a large dining room, a sprawling front porch, and enough room that nobody had to spend every waking hour on top of one another. The house showed its age in the usual ways. The floors creaked, the radiators rattled during the winter, and the windows occasionally complained whenever strong winds pushed through town. To a group of college students, however, those quirks felt more charming than problematic. Within a few weeks, the house had become home. Everyone settled into routines shaped by classes, jobs, and social lives. There was almost always someone coming or going. Friends dropped by unannounced, study groups gathered around the dining room table, and late-night conversations often stretched well past midnight. Because the house was constantly occupied, nobody paid much attention when strange things started happening. The first incidents were so minor they barely registered. Someone would hear footsteps upstairs and assume a roommate had arrived home. A bedroom door would close somewhere on the second floor, only for everyone to discover the house was empty. Occasionally, someone heard movement in another room and naturally assumed one of the others was nearby. Living with four other people made those experiences easy to dismiss. At any given moment, somebody might be leaving for class, returning from work, or wandering through the house looking for food. Most strange sounds had perfectly reasonable explanations. At least, that was what everyone believed during the first few months. The first incident that genuinely stood out happened in October. Two roommates returned from a late-night walk to a sandwich shop near campus and noticed light shining beneath the door of Mark's bedroom. Assuming he was still awake, they headed upstairs. One of them knocked on the door, expecting Mark to answer. Three knocks immediately answered from inside. The response sounded so normal that neither of them thought twice about it. One roommate laughed, pushed open the door, and prepared to step inside. The room was empty. At first, they assumed Mark was hiding as a joke. Then they noticed the bed was neatly made, the lights were off, and there was nowhere for anyone to be hiding. After checking the rest of the house, they finally called Mark. He answered from the university library. According to him, he hadn't been home all evening. The story spread quickly through the house. Everyone agreed it was strange, but nobody immediately jumped to paranormal conclusions. Throughout the next week, theories were offered whenever the subject came up. Perhaps they had misheard the sound. Maybe it came from another room. Maybe an old pipe or radiator had produced a perfectly timed knock. The explanation sounded reasonable enough until similar experiences began happening to other people. One roommate heard footsteps crossing the second floor hallway while studying alone in the dining room. Thinking someone had arrived home, he called upstairs to ask whether they wanted coffee. When no one answered, he searched the house and discovered he was completely alone. A few weeks later, another roommate heard someone enter through the front door while she was preparing dinner. She distinctly listened to footsteps move through the foyer and into the living room. Expecting to find one of her friends, she walked in to greet them and discovered an empty room. The front door remained locked, and there was no sign that anyone had entered the house at all. By November, experiences like those had become surprisingly common. What made them unsettling wasn't their intensity, but their consistency. Nobody reported terrifying apparitions or shadow figures lurking in dark corners. Instead, the house behaved as though another person lived there. Doors opened and closed, footsteps crossed hallways, sounds drifted from distant rooms. Nearly every incident began with someone assuming another roommate was responsible, only to discover that nobody was there. Eventually, the group started joking about a sixth roommate. The joke became part of daily life. Whenever someone heard unexplained footsteps or a door closing upstairs, they blamed the invisible resident of the house. The humor helped because the alternative was admitting that none of them could explain what was happening. What bothered them most was how ordinary the activity felt. Nothing about it seemed designed to frighten anyone. If anything, the house simply behaved as though it expected another person to be present. That realization became harder to ignore as the semester progressed. One Friday evening during finals week, four of the roommates sat around the dining room table studying while Mark worked upstairs. The house was unusually quiet. Everyone was exhausted, buried under projects and preparing for exams, and conversation had largely disappeared beneath the sound of turning pages and tapping keyboards. Sometime after 9 o'clock, a knock sounded at the front door. One roommate got up and answered it. Nobody was outside. The street sat empty beneath the glow of the streetlights, and there was no sign that anyone had approached the house. Assuming it was a prank, everyone returned to their work. Less than a minute later, the knock came again. This time it sounded louder and more deliberate. The same roommate opened the door a second time and once again found nobody outside. An uneasy silence settled over the room. Before anyone could offer another explanation, a new knock echoed through the house. So this one came from upstairs. Every person at the table turned toward the staircase. Three sharp knocks sounded somewhere on the second floor, followed by complete silence. Several moments later, Mark appeared at the top of the stairs, looking confused. When they asked whether he had been knocking on something, he slowly shook his head. Then he explained why he had come downstairs. According to him, he had heard someone knocking from below and assumed one of them was trying to get his attention. For the first time since moving into the house, nobody laughed. There was simply no way to explain how everyone downstairs heard the knocking upstairs while Mark heard the exact same knocking coming from below. The incident during finals week changed something in the house. Nobody talked about moving out, and nobody stopped making jokes about the sixth roommate. Life continued much as it always had. Winter break arrived, everyone went their separate ways for a few weeks, and by January the house was full again. Classes resumed, schedules became hectic, and before long the strange events that had dominated conversation during December began fading into the background. Even so, the group viewed the house differently. The problem wasn't the knocking itself, but the problem was that five people had experienced the same event from completely different perspectives. Everyone downstairs was certain the sound came from the second floor, while Mark was equally convinced it came from below. No matter how many times they discussed it, nobody could come up with a logical explanation that made sense. As the spring semester settled into its routine, the roommates began comparing stories more seriously than before. Once they started paying attention, they noticed a pattern that had somehow escaped them during the previous year. Nearly every unexplained incident began with an assumption. Someone heard footsteps because they believed another roommate had come home. A door closed because they thought someone was moving around upstairs. Voices drifted from distant rooms because they assumed another person was nearby. And the more they talked about it, the stranger the pattern became. Almost every experience involved someone expecting another person to be present. Then the house seemed to respond. At first, the theory sounded ridiculous, but over the following weeks, the house kept providing examples. One Saturday afternoon, three roommates remained home while the others attended a basketball game. Around lunchtime, one of them heard what sounded like the front door opening and closing. A moment later, footsteps crossed the foyer and moved toward the staircase. Without looking up from his textbook, he called out a greeting. No one answered. The footsteps continued anyway. Several minutes passed before he finally got up to investigate. The house was empty except for the three people already inside. The front door remained locked. The other roommates were still at the game. Experiences like that became increasingly common, and rather than frightening the group, they found themselves becoming curious. Eventually, someone bought a cheap spiral notebook and labeled it the Sixth Roommate Journal. Whenever something unusual happened, they wrote it down. Most entries were simple descriptions of footsteps, doors opening, or sounds coming from empty rooms, but after several months, the notebook revealed something none of them could ignore. The house almost never seemed to initiate activity on its own. Nearly every incident occurred after somebody believed another person was nearby. That realization eventually led them to start asking questions about the property's history. The landlord proved completely useless. He had owned the house for less than 10 years and seemed more interested in discussing rent payments than local history. Their search eventually led them to the town library, where old newspapers, property records, and historical archives painted a surprisingly detailed picture of the building's past. Long before it became a student rental, the house had operated as a boarding house. For decades, people rented rooms there while attending school or working in town. Old newspaper advertisements described meals served in the dining room and rooms available for short-term tenants. At various points in its history, more than a dozen people lived under the same roof. The house was almost never empty. People arrived and left at all hours. Residents shared meals, gathered in common rooms, and constantly moved through hallways and staircases. Reading those descriptions, several of the roommates found themselves thinking the same thing. The activity sounded remarkably familiar. The discovery wasn't proof of anything, but it fit what they had experienced surprisingly well. If any building could somehow retain traces of the lives once lived inside it, a boarding house filled with generations of tenants seemed like a reasonable candidate. The theory gained even more traction after they met an elderly woman volunteering at the library. When they mentioned the address, she immediately recognized it. In fact, she laughed before they had finished explaining why they were researching the property. According to her, stories about the house had circulated for as long as she could remember. Most involved hearing footsteps, doors closing, or people moving through empty rooms. Former tenants often described the sensation that someone had just entered the house or crossed into another room. Then she asked a question that immediately got everyone's attention. Has anybody started hearing their name yet? The roommates exchanged confused looks. When they admitted that nobody had, the woman nodded thoughtfully. She explained that older stories about the house occasionally mentioned familiar voices. Someone would hear a family member call from another room. A tenant might hear a friend arrive home. In every case, the voice belonged to someone the witness expected to find nearby. The stories always ended the same way. Nobody was there. Most of the roommates dismissed the conversation as local folklore. Every town had ghost stories that became more dramatic with age. Even so, the woman's comments lingered in their minds because they fit so perfectly with everything else they had experienced. For several weeks, nothing unusual happened. Then one evening, Mark was studying alone in the dining room when he heard someone call his name from upstairs. The voice wasn't loud. It wasn't threatening. It sounded completely ordinary. In fact, it sounded familiar enough that Mark immediately assumed one of his roommates was home. Without thinking, he climbed the stairs to see what they wanted. The second floor was empty. The other roommates were still on campus. When he told the others what happened later that night, the room grew noticeably quieter. For the first time since moving into the house, the activity seemed different. The house wasn't responding to the expectation that someone was there. Instead, it had created that expectation itself. And for the first time, several of the roommates found themselves wondering whether the sixth roommate had finally decided to introduce itself. After Mark heard his name from the empty second floor, the roommates expected the activity to become more intense. Instead, the opposite happened. For the remainder of the semester, the house continued producing the occasional unexplained sound, but the incidents became noticeably less frequent. There were still moments when someone thought they heard footsteps in an empty hallway or movement in a distant room, yet weeks often passed between experiences. The sixth roommate journal that had once filled with entries every few days began collecting dust on a shelf in the dining room. The change was noticeable enough that the roommates talked about it more than once. After nearly 2 years of unexplained activity, the house suddenly felt quieter. Several of them wondered whether whatever had been happening was finally running its course. Others suggested they were simply paying less attention. Life had become busier, classes were harder, graduation was beginning to appear on the horizon. They spent less time sitting around discussing the house and more time worrying about internships, jobs, and what came next. Even so, none of them completely forgot about the mystery. One rainy evening during their final year in the house, the conversation resurfaced while everyone sat around the dining room table. The discussion began with old stories from the notebook before drifting toward the history of the property. Somebody brought up the boarding house records they had found at the library, and before long they were once again debating what they believed had actually happened there. The longer they talked, the more one conclusion seemed to make sense. Nothing they had experienced felt malicious. The sounds had always been ordinary. Footsteps crossed hallways, doors opened and closed. Voices drifted from empty rooms. Every incident sounded like the sort of thing a living person might do while sharing a house with other people. Even the strange knocking seemed less like an attempt to frighten someone, and more like a response. For decades, the building had been filled with tenants. People arrived home late at night. They knocked on bedroom doors. They crossed staircases and gathered in common rooms. The house had spent generations filled with activity, and the roommates found themselves wondering whether they had simply been experiencing echoes of those routines. The theory didn't explain everything, but it explained enough. More importantly, it fit the feeling they had always gotten from the house. Whatever was there never seemed interested in scaring anyone. It simply acted as though it belonged there. The conversation eventually ended and life moved on. Weeks passed without incident, then months. By the beginning of their final semester, some of the roommates had started wondering whether they had already experienced the last strange event the house had to offer. They were wrong. The final incident occurred on an otherwise ordinary evening, only a few weeks before graduation. Everyone happened to be home that night. Some were studying, others were watching television, and a few sat around the dining room table talking. The atmosphere felt relaxed in a way it hadn't for months. Graduation was approaching, job offers were beginning to appear, and for the first time in years, everyone could see the finish line. At some point during the evening, someone noticed footsteps crossing the foyer. The sound immediately caught their attention because it had been so long since any of them had heard anything unusual. Conversation stopped as everyone listened. The footsteps moved slowly through the front hallway before turning toward the staircase, as then they stopped. Nobody rushed to investigate. Nobody seemed particularly frightened. Instead, the group sat quietly, listening to a sound that had become strangely familiar over the years. A few moments later, a single knock echoed from somewhere on the second floor. The sound wasn't loud. It wasn't aggressive. It was simply there one moment and gone the next, hanging in the silence before gradually fading away. Nothing followed. There were no additional knocks, no footsteps, no voices. The house fell completely silent. For reasons none of them could fully explain, the moment felt final. No one said much about it that night, but everyone remembered it afterward, because it was the last thing that ever happened. The remainder of the semester passed without incident. Graduation arrived, leases ended, and the roommates gradually moved on with their lives. Some stayed in touch regularly. Others drifted apart as careers, marriages, and families carried them in different directions. Yet every few years, the conversation inevitably returned to the old Victorian house and the experiences they shared there. The mystery never completely disappeared, and they never uncovered evidence of a tragedy. They never found records of a murder or a hidden secret buried within the property's history. In many ways, the house remained remarkably ordinary. That was part of what made the story so memorable. The activity had never felt like the kind of haunting people expected to hear about. There were no terrifying apparitions or violent encounters. Instead, there was simply the persistent feeling that someone else lived there alongside them. Years later, one of the former roommates attended a university reunion and found himself speaking with a student who happened to rent the same house. Naturally, the conversation turned toward the property, and after listening for a few minutes, he finally asked whether anything strange still happened there. And then the student thought about the question for a moment before smiling. He admitted that nothing particularly frightening had ever happened during his time there. Occasionally, however, he would hear footsteps in another room or become convinced that somebody had just come through the front door. Then he laughed and added that everyone living there joked about the same thing, and sometimes it simply felt like there was another roommate in the house. Of all the explanations they had considered over the years, that one still felt closest to the truth.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now, so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.